Seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we continue our sermon series on the gifts from God, gifts that Christians receive, respect, and use. As you have probably already figured out from our service and some of the announcements, the gift we focus on today is prayer. Now, as Christians, we know that prayer is one of the lifebloods of a Christian. So important. And we know it's important because we've seen it work. We have seen prayers be answered, and we know that prayer is a powerful gift, a way that we can communicate with our God. How amazing is that? And not only to talk to him and ask him things and glorify him, but also so that he can speak back into our lives, a way where we can meditate on his will for our lives and discern what is pleasing to him. I think we can all agree, prayer is a powerful gift from God. But I wonder, if I were to give an anonymous survey here at Christ the Shepherd and ask everybody here how often you actually pray, I wonder what the results would look like. Because I kind of imagine they wouldn't be all that impressive. You see, the truth is, the vast majority of Christians, we underutilize prayer. And I wonder why, looking at what an amazing gift it is, why do so many Christians only pray once or twice a month or once or twice a week? Why is this amazing gift not used as much as it should be? And you know, I think there are a couple of reasons for this. But the main one, I think, if you asked most of us, would be the same reason why we sometimes fail to read God's word. Because we're too busy. Sorry, I need this, don't I? Okay, there we go. Because we're too busy. I mean, look at the demands we have on our life. Between work, taking care of kids, taking care of family, exercise, taking care of the things at the house, trying to relax, and between all of it, we're stuck in traffic. So there's a lot to fit into a 24-hour day, and there's not very much time to sleep, much less make time for significant amounts of time with God, prayer, and being in his word. You know, we just get too busy. And it's true. The lives we lead are so busy that sometimes it's really easy to push prayer and God's word to the edge of your life. But, you know, I've felt this way a lot too. But I had a mentor pastor say a quote to me. And it's meant a lot and it's stuck with me, so I'm going to share it with you. If you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. And there's a truth to that statement. Because a life lived without prayer, a life lived without a connection to your God, that is a life that leaves something to be desired. And so I wonder, in this world where so many Christians get too busy to pray, what is that life doing to us? What is all that busyness doing to our souls? So as I pondered this, I found a poem. And this poem is called The Antithesis of Psalm 23. And it's written to mirror Psalm 23, but it also shows a life where time, the clock, and the demands of our busy life take the priority over God. So as I read this, I want you to think about how this poem relates to your life and those around you. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me into deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. And even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done. For my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines and my inbox overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. Who can relate to that? I know I can relate to what's going on in this poem. A life where the clock is your priority, where it becomes your idol, and everything else runs off of trying to get things done. And in that life, God just gets pushed in the corner. We commune with him at church and every once in a while, but our daily routine is a life almost lived without God. And it becomes our priority. Time becomes our priority. We become too busy to use those gifts of God, especially the gift of prayer. But you know, as I really thought about this, being too busy, it's really more of a symptom of the real problem. Because the real problem is lack of trust. The real problem, the real reason we don't pray is because we lack a total trust in God. We don't trust that God can be our first option, that we can go to him first and he's going to make everything else work out. Instead, we try to figure it out on our own. We trust in ourselves. We say, if I can get my work done, and then my family time, and then the chores around the house, and then relax a little bit, then I'm going to have some time for God at the end of the day. And then life just gets in the way. We get busy, things come up, and God, again, gets pushed to the side. And that prayer, it happens far less than it should. And the cycle continues. We live these stressed out, overburdened lives. And just like that poem, we find ourselves living a life apart from the peace that God provides. And that cycle, it just continues. And you know what the sad thing is? I haven't even mentioned the extraordinary circumstances. All we've talked about is the daily grind, those things we all have to do every single day. But what about when crisis happens? What about when we lose a job or we can't quite make ends meet and the pressure that comes with financial stress? What about when a relationship is broken or we experience loneliness or a mental health issue? What about when our body starts to fail us or we have to watch a loved one go through that? What do we do then? What do we do when all of that comes on top of this stressed out life we already lead, this busy life that comes along with our modern age? How do we respond then? You know, this life, it can be a battle sometimes. So what do we do? How is a Christian to respond? Well, I think we all kind of know the answer of how we should, but do we? As I alluded to earlier, we tend to go to something before God. We've all got whatever it is we reach for. Most of us, it's our own intellect. It's our own resources. We try and put our nose to the ground and just tough it out and work and work and work until everything's done. Others of us kind of give up. We go to a coping mechanism. Some of those are healthy, like exercise or reading or seeking counseling or the fellowship with friends. But when they get in between us and God, when they become our idol, our first option, then they're a problem. And then there's those other ways, the really negative ways, the ways that lead to addiction and make our life spiral downward. All of these things. There's all these options that the world says are ways to cope with the stress and the struggles of our lives. And so many of them are not God. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Today we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare and how the devil is using these stressful moments in our life, the busyness, the chaos, the crisis, and how he's trying to use that to pull us from God. And this is where we get to our sermon text today. Look what St. Paul says as he addresses spiritual warfare. For we do not struggle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You see, we often forget to think this way, to think about the struggles in life as actual spiritual warfare, about what those are doing in this spiritual battle. Because when it comes down to it, all the cares of this world, they revolve around one thing, sin. And not necessarily our individual sin, but the sin of all of humanity, that original sin that's been ingrained in our race since Adam and Eve. And it's there. That's going to continue to act on our lives, causing stress and burden and crisis and every single negative part of our life. And during this life, this side of heaven, that struggle is going to continue. So again, we have to think about how do we as Christians respond? Because here's the part we need to remember. The devil, he's hard at work. He's going to do anything he can to break our trust in Christ, to lower our trust. He wants more than anything to sever that trust completely. Because if our trust remains in Christ, as we know, if our trust remains in Christ, we will be in eternity with him, in paradise. That's all that matters. And that's exactly what the devil is trying to prevent. He is trying to redirect our attention, to distract us, to use these things in our lives to keep us from looking to God first. So, how do we fight this spiritual battle? Don't try and fight it with earthly tools. Don't try and fight a spiritual battle in earthly ways. Don't go first to your own intellect. Don't go first to your coping mechanism. We need to first go to God. Let's look at what Paul says in our text today. If it works. Okay. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then at the end of the passage, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit. You see, the cool thing about this armor of God that is given to us is most of the armor of God is passive. Something that's just given to us by faith in our baptism that protects us from the powers of the devil. But now prayer, what we're talking about today, prayer is especially cool because it's not actually part of this armor of God that Paul lists. Instead, I like to look at prayer as a weapon that we can actively use in this spiritual battle to combat the forces of evil in our lives. Prayer is a tool that, when properly used, will keep our trust right where it needs to be. And this is why. You see, the guiding principle of the entire Christian faith is this: removing trust from ourselves, removing trust from earthly things, removing trust from our resources, from our government, from other people, taking that primary trust and taking it off whatever we might look to, and then putting it on Christ. Putting it simply on him. Trusting him, one, to take care of our earthly needs, those things that we need on a daily basis, but even more importantly, putting our trust on Christ to take care of our eternal needs. And God's word tells us the truth. When we keep our trust in him, when our faith is in Jesus, we are heirs to eternal life. Trusting him by faith, that's the only thing that really matters. And that's why prayer is so important. By its very definition, prayer is giving up trust in ourselves and putting it on God. Coming to God, head bowed, hands folded, and asking him to provide for us. You see, prayer, it's this perfect model of a Christian life. That is why God has given us prayer. That is why he has given us this powerful tool to allow our trust to remain in him, to allow our trust to remain in the only place that gives salvation. Martin Luther said that prayer has the power to give, strengthen, and preserve faith. And that is so true, because when we pray, we say this: God, I trust you. And when we say that, when we go to God in prayer and say, God, I trust you for my earthly needs and my eternal needs, when we say that, that is the last thing the devil ever wants to hear. When we say that, the battle's already been won. And Christ has prevailed in our hearts. Now, as we talk about prayer, we need to remember something. Prayer is not going to fix every earthly problem we have. We all know prayer works, and God works in mysterious ways. And sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says, you know, I think you need something else. And because of sin, there will be frustrations we have to deal with this side of heaven. But what we're talking about today is how we deal with those frustrations, how we deal with that struggle and that battle. If we try to deal with them on our own, we're going to end up frustrated. We're going to end up stressed, and we're going to end up living that life where God is pushed to the side and we're trying to frantically do it on our own. And some of us in that battle, some of us fare pretty well. Sometimes we do okay trying to do it on our own. But we got to remember, that's just as dangerous, because the devil can get in our ear and he can tell us, hey, you may not really need God. You've kind of got it figured out on your own. And that is why prayer is so important. That is why a life saying, God, I trust you and I need you, is so crucial to the life of a Christian. Now, if you're like most Christians, if you're like me, you probably underutilize prayer. So today I'm challenging all of us, myself included, to better utilize this incredible gift God has given us. Make prayer more than just an action, more than something you do as part of a routine, more than something you do when you need something. Make prayer your default setting in life, part of your identity as a child of God who trusts their Father to care for their every need. A default setting that says, God, regardless of what's going well in my life, regardless of what's going wrong in my life, regardless of it all, I trust you, I need you, and I know that you love me. Pray every day. Pray short prayers and long prayers. Pray in the car. Pray before you eat. Pray before you go to bed. Pray during every joy. Pray during every frustration. Pray because our God has asked us to. Not because he needs us to do this great work to prove to him that we love him, but rather because he loves us. Because he knows what is best for us. Because he knows that prayer is a powerful tool that can keep our trust in him. An armor that shields against the attacks of the devil. An armor that protects our connection between us and our God. Prayer is a wonderful gift, and that is why we must use it. So, we can't end this message on prayer without praying now, can we? So, as we end this message, I want to pray together. And I think it was fitting, as we started this sermon with the antithesis of Psalm 23, that we pray together Psalm 23. And as we read through Psalm 23 and pray it together, I want you to look at it, because Psalm 23 is a perfect illustration of that Christian life of prayer, a life that says, God, I trust you. Let's pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron, for that encouragement from God's word on prayer. We're going to turn now to the Lord. Continue to pray to him.